Now, as I said, it doesn't matter how a demon talks to us. The result will be the same if we listen to it and we act upon what it says or suggests. Religious demons speak directly to our minds, or they tempt us directly, or they can speak and tempt us indirectly through other people. One of the hardest things you have to face is the fact that many times when we're talking to other Christians about spiritual things, we are actually interacting with religious demons, because multitudes and multitudes of today's Christians are walking under the influence of these very spirits. They're under their power so thoroughly and so completely when it comes to religious things. Everything they say and everything they do is being motivated and directed by demons, by religious demons. Now, when you strike up a conversation with a person who's in that condition, you're having a conversation with religious demons, and 9 times out of 10, you will walk away under the power of that demon unless you know how to interact with it properly and how to stay free from it and what not to do when you're around it. This is the reason these spirits spread like wildfire from one person to another. It's very easy to involve ourselves with and come under the influence of another spirit just by interacting with other people. And this is especially true with religious spirits. And we may not feel possessed or anything like that when we walk away from them, but you can be sure you're being affected by them if you're not careful and know what you're doing. Now, when the average Christian hears this kind of teaching, they scoff, they mock it, they reject it because they think it's absurd, it's insane. I mean, the first thing you'll say is, hey, you know, if we could be affected so easily by the wrong spirits of other people, then practically every Christian on the planet would be infected by all kinds of wrong spirits. I mean, nobody could ever pray for anyone. You couldn't read the Bible with anyone or talk to anyone about God. You couldn't praise or worship with anyone. Everyone would be infecting everyone else. And I'd say, oh, really? Well, that's exactly what's going on, bro. That's exactly what's going on. I mean, how do you think the great apostasy has spread so fast over the last 20 years? People who are involved with other spirits infect whole congregations. And before you know it, the whole church is going berserk. It becomes a revival church or a mega church or something, you know? Isn't that exactly what's happened to tens of thousands of churches over the last 25, 30 years who sent people out to these various false revivals like Toronto and Brownsville and Lakeland, etc., just to check them out, just to see what's happening there? You know, just go have a look. And they send half a dozen people from the local congregation to go have a look, to check out the revival, see if it's real. And those six people end up embracing religious spirits they encounter there. And they go back and they infect their whole church with those spirits. Pretty soon everyone in the whole church has come under the spell of the revival, the mega church thing, and the whole congregation's laughing and barking and manifesting all signs of revival. What is that but a transference of spirits? Half a dozen people end up infecting the whole church because they're praying with them, they're reading the Bible with them, they're worshiping with them, they're interacting with them, and they have no idea what's going on. No idea they're interacting with demons and coming under the power of demons. If the people of that congregation accept what those six people say about the revival they've gone to, after they've been deceived, accepted those religious spirits in their lives, and they come back, and they're testifying how wonderful it is, if the people in that congregation accept that testimony, they'll all come under the influence of those spirits, those same demons. Because when you accept the testimony of a demon, you open yourself up to the demon's influence. Then the people in that congregation will go ahead and they'll pray with those six people, and they'll worship with them, they'll take communion with them, and they'll just keep coming under the power of those religious demons more and more and more. And have no idea what's happening, not one clue of what's going on, what's transpiring. Just fellowshipping with them is enough to contaminate the whole church. The ones who receive those religious demons don't have to go around laying hands on everybody and transferring the demons by hands. You just have to involve everyone with themselves in some way. Eat with them, drink with them, pray with them, sing songs with them, worship with them, something. And those spirits will start operating in the other person's life. Just speaking, just giving a testimony, testifying what those demons want to say is enough to start bringing people under. Anyone who doesn't reject that testimony, anyone who doesn't stand out against it, they'll eventually come under that influence. It's like a plague. It's infectious disease. It spreads from person to person just so quickly, so easily. The problem of transference of spirits is not confined to the apostasy either that's taking place in church system. I'm sorry to say, this is a fact. Many, if not most, Christian homes right now are in a situation where one spouse is genuinely saved and the other one is walking under the power of religious spirits and is served a false Christ. And that's one of the hardest situations there is in the world to deal with. First of all, most people don't want to know the truth regarding their spouse's true condition. They usually choose to believe their husband or their wife is saved, regardless of any evidence to the contrary. So right off the bat, you have a problem, a big problem, because it's almost impossible for God to show them their spouse is not really saved when they don't want to know the truth. But the whole thing becomes even 100 times more difficult and complicated when that spouse is involved with religious demons and not really saved. And you don't care to tell the difference. There are so few believers right now who have the ability to difference between the Holy Spirit and these religious spirits because they look, sound, and feel so much alike. Religious demons have the power to perfectly counterfeit the voice of God, the presence of God, the love, the joy, the peace of God, the gifts of the Spirit, discernment, and so on. And just like the Holy Spirit, religious spirits give us a desire to read the Bible, study the Bible. And they also give us revelations and insight as we study it. Just like the Holy Spirit, religious spirits give us a desire to pray. And then they have the ability to answer many of the prayers they cause us to pray. Like the Holy Spirit, religious spirits give us spiritual discernment so we can discern what's wrong with everyone in the world, except ourselves, of course. Everything the Spirit does in a real Christian's life, these religious spirits can counterfeit in a person's life. And the counterfeit is so perfect right now. So perfect. If God doesn't supernaturally give you the ability to discern them, you will never, ever be able to discern them. Never. Not in a million years. That's how bad it is. If God doesn't supernaturally give you the wisdom and the discernment to recognize those things when they start moving, you'll never recognize them. They're too close to the truth. They're too perfect a counterfeit. Unfortunately, we can't teach anyone how to recognize these kinds of spirits. You can recognize a smoking spirit, the guy smokes. You can recognize a drinking spirit because the guy's obsessed with drinking, driven to drink. You can recognize all kinds of spirits are easy to recognize, except religious spirits. You can hunt and recognize a religious spirit unless God supernaturally gives you a dose of wisdom to recognize it. So we can't teach people how to recognize them. Only God can do that. All we can do is warn people about what's really going on right now and encourage them to earnestly seek the Lord for the ability to recognize those spirits. Because, my friends, we need that ability. I guarantee you. This is not a game. We're in a life and death struggle. Satan knows he has but a short time, and he's determined to do as much damage to as many believers as he possibly can. But before we can recognize these spirits, we first have to take this thing very seriously. We have to know what kind of creatures we're dealing with and what they're capable of doing. And most people will not face the truth about what we're dealing with and what they are capable of doing. They just will not face that truth. It's too terrifying. There's no control over it. You can't control this thing. If God doesn't give you the ability to recognize it, you're toast. That's all there is to it. If God does not give us the ability to recognize it, we're toast. There's nothing you can learn. There's no book you can read. There's no preacher you go to get zapped. Nothing. You can't do anything to learn how to recognize it, but God himself has to come on you and give you the ability to recognize it. And if God doesn't do it, it won't get done. No man can ever do it. And so people don't like that because they have absolutely no control over it. They will never be able to do it themselves. They must rely on God alone. And they can't stand that. Makes them too scared. So we have to know what kind of creatures we're dealing with, what they're capable of doing, and to realize that they're not playing games. We are, but they're not. They're going for the jugular vein. They're going for the kill. They intend to drive the Holy Spirit right out of your life once they get a foothold in it. And in many cases, that's exactly what they have done. Many, many, many multitudes of Christians right now are desolate. Their temple is desolate. The abomination of desolation is these religious spirits went in there and made their temple desolate because they drove the Holy Spirit right out. And these people have no idea what happened to serving the Holy Spirit like they were 10 years ago. They have no idea there's been a change. No idea Jesus is gone and the Antichrist is sitting in their temple. No idea. And they won't know until they stand before God on Judgment Day what happened. Tens of thousands of Christians are being overcome by these spirits right now. And they have no idea what's happening. See, these demons aren't after people like Todd Bentley or Rick Joyner or the Rick Warrens of this world. Stop looking at those people. They already have those people. They have already devoured those people. The ones these demons have their eyes on are the ones who have not yet been deceived. That's you and me, people. We are the ones they have their eyes on. They've already devoured Rick Joyner. They've already devoured Rick Warren. They're wanting to devour you and me. And anyone who desires to be part of God's eternal priesthood, aside from the whole issue of being devoured and ended up lost, if you want to be part of the eternal priesthood of God, you must purge yourself of any influence of demon spirits, especially these hellish religious spirits. And that includes, and sometimes it demands, separate from other people who are walking under the influence of those spirits. As I said last week, God called the Corinthians, the Corinthian saints, to come out from among them. That's come out from the unbelievers of that city and be separate. Now, 2 Corinthians 6:18, he said, if they would touch not the unclean thing, he would receive them and be a father to them. And touching not the unclean thing certainly includes demon spirits. And the reason the Holy Spirit said we have to separate from unbelievers is because unbelievers are having union with demon spirits all the time. My word, Christians can't even guard their mind and keep their minds from demons. The unbeliever has no chance. And so God says, separate from the unbeliever. They have no chance. They're just following demons all the time. They're following the lusts of the demons and the ideas of the demons and desires of demons constantly, 24 hours a day, 24/7. Separate from them. Because God will never have union with his enemy. He will never have union with Satan. And if we want to be received by the Father, if we want to experience that kind of union, closeness with him we want, then we have to stop having union with his enemies, including, especially, religious spirits. We have to stop acting upon the thoughts and desires those spirits give us. We can no longer yield to them and hope to have union with the Father at the same time. He won't do it. He's saying you must separate, come out from among them. Touch not the unclean. Not only must we stop having direct union with these spirits by listening to them directly, they talk to us and give us desires and ideas and thoughts and stuff. We have to stop having indirect union with them by having union with other people who are having union with them. As I said, in order to stay free from the influence of these spirits, you first have to learn how to recognize them and resist them. And that can only come by way of supernatural revelation. There is no book you can buy. There is no list you can check off. There is nothing you can do. You're at God's mercy. God alone can make it real to you when a spirit's moving, a religious spirit like this is moving. So I encourage everyone who's hearing this message to get serious with God about that matter, because it is a deadly, serious issue whether we realize it or not. Multitudes of believers are being overcome right now by an enemy they have no capacity to recognize or resist. They have no capacity whatsoever to recognize or resist it. They wouldn't know the difference between the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of these counterfeit religious spirits, even if you tried to explain it to them. It wouldn't make any difference. They're blind, they're totally unprepared for the battle we're facing right now, and they're being destroyed in droves. Droves. So those are the first two influences. I could make a series out of this, I don't know if it will or not, but those are the first two influences we got to get out of our life. Those are the two important ones to see right now. All that doctrine that keeps people from understanding, you have to go on in God, you have to go deeper in God, you have to be cleansed after you're saved, you have to be purified after you're saved. That kind of thing. And then the spirits who come in and try to counterfeit and take you off course. So, you know, even if you have that vision and you have that understanding, you never make it. Because you're following demons instead of Jesus. Those are the first two things, the most important things, people have to get delivered from as you walk this way and try and keep purging ourselves from all the uncleanness that defiles our garments. Okay? Anybody have any thing to share or say or add or ask? Feel free, take the mic, step right up. Don't be shy. Jenna, go ahead, Jenna, you have the mic.
Hi, everybody. So, Dan, I just had a quick question. Thank you so much for this, by the way, but, because ever since you started teaching about unclean spirits, and especially religious spirits, I've been asking Father to show me them, and to, you know, show me if I am walking under any. I know I sent you that one email that one time. And he has been showing me religious spirits in, there was a few books that came my way and such. And so far I have not seen any, that I'm under any, but, I just want to say that if you ever, you know, hear me speaking and sense that, please tell me, because I want to get free of it right away. So, thank you again, and I'm very happy for you that you will have a kidney. That is wonderful. Praise God. So, thanks again, and I hope you can help.
Well, that's a good attitude you have there, Jenna Ray. Just keep seeking the Lord. If there's anything there, He'll eventually show you. Just keep that attitude. Keep that attitude that you want to live if there's anything there. That's a good way to walk. Sister Sissy, you got the mic. Go ahead.
Hi, everybody. I wasn't going to say anything, but I really felt led to say this. This message was so sobering for me tonight. Thank you so much, Dan. I agree with Jenna. If there's ever anything in me that you hear, please let me know. I want to repent and turn from it. I asked the Lord. I asked the Lord to show me some things. And one of the things that he showed me a few weeks ago, and I thank him so much for it because it's been really difficult in my life. Rejection as a kid throughout my life, that sort of thing brought on, and I didn't realize that it was a spirit at the time, but besides the message that you have brought forth, but I received confirmation as well a couple of times already, and I believe it was the Lord showing me this, that I was under the influence of man-pleasing spirits. And it always trying, to please others, and that was not the Lord. And you think that because you're a believer that this is a good thing, that was not the Lord at all. And you want to follow the Word, and you want to follow what the Lord is telling us, and walk in obedience. But He was showing me that that He's accepted me in the Beloved, but that my trying to please others the way that I was, was not pleasing to Him, because He didn't ask me to do certain things, and He didn't ask me to, walk in a particular way, or without going into a lot of detail. I'm sure you all get the gist of it, but that's why tonight's teaching was another word and confirmation to me as well. So the enemy can, I agree 100%, that he can come in and make us think that we are doing the will of the Lord. But he showed me, what I'm trying to say is that he showed me that this was something that I had a real problem with, and he's been delivering me from that. I thank him, because it has really been detrimental in my life. It has been very, very hard on my life because of it. So I just wanted to share that with you all, and hope and pray that it'll help someone in the room or anybody who listened to this tape. Thank you, Dan. God bless you all.
Thank you, Sissy. That was a good testimony. Thanks for sharing that. That's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. It looks like the mama wants to say something. Hang on a second here.
Hi, everyone. Praise the Lord for Jenna Ray and Sissy's testimony. What beautiful testimonies. I praise the Lord for that. There's been a song on my heart this week, and I feel I just want to share it with you. I'm not going to sing it, but it's scripture, and it's a song we used to sing, and it was very real on my heart this week. I'm just going to say the words. It was, come bless the Lord, come bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the holy place and bless the Lord. And we are the servants that are standing by night. It's really night out there. And the next verse is, come, my people, enter into thy chamber, and close the door round about behind thee, and hide thyself for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. And I believe that shutting the door behind us is shutting the door to all spirits and everything that would keep us from drawing closer to God and entering into His high calling. And so that was a song. Come bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the holy place and bless the Lord, and bless the Lord. That's all. Shalom.
Amen. Anybody else have anything to share? Good word, Ma. I'll try to sing that song. I remember it. Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the holy place and bless the Lord, and bless the Lord. Come, come, my people, enter into thy chambers, and shut the door round about thee, and hide thy face for a little moment, till the indignation be overpast. Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hand in a holy place, and bless the Lord. In case anybody didn't know that song, that's how it goes. Alrighty. Anybody else? Hang on a second. I think Joey has something after all.
Hey guys, sorry about this little last minute thing. It's going to be a little rough English here because it's so personal to me. It's basically was a little thing that I wrote in my my journal just to remind me about some things concerning deception. And you know, of course, I didn't know what Dan was going to talk about tonight, but I'm just going to read this thing. It's just going to be a paragraph. It says, "Your enemy, the devil, is so much more super intelligent than you. He is so much more powerful than you. Satan is seeking to devour your wrath. He is more diligent, more excellent in his works and efforts to deceive you, more than your daily devotions and daily proverbs, more than your efforts to seek the Lord, more than your faithfulness to walk in the Spirit. He is plotting a scheme of deception for you to fall, even as you are writing this right now. Satan is quietly and softly setting you up for a deception to your future major fall and destruction. While you are talking to others, while you are working, while you are fellowshipping, while you are sleeping, while you are eating, while you are doing God's work, Satan is planning a deception for you even right now. He is more excellent in his efforts to trap you more than your efforts to defend yourself. Oh, helpless little worm, where does that put you? You are in danger all the time. Stay awake and cry out constantly for God to give you his divine discernment and his protection. The most perfect form of Antichrist is always lurking before you, seeking to manipulate, control, and deceive, to kill, to steal, and to destroy you. What are you going to do about it?" So anyway, that was an exhortation for me personally. And I just thought I wanted to read that to you guys. Back to Dan.
Very good, Joey. Thanks for sharing that. Alrighty. Anybody else? Okay. I appreciate y'all coming. And thank you for sharing, everyone that shared. And I guess I will shut her down. And we'll see you next week. God willing. And the river don't rise.